Hello and welcome to my art update podcast thingy. This is update number 80. Exhausted. I think I may have used that title before. Hopefully not. This podcast is designed to keep people who know me, Andrew Woolner, up to date about what is going on for me artistically. Some life updates might get rolled into that because, sometimes these things need context and life and art are inextricably entwined. So if you know me, you're welcome here. You also don't feel like you need to listen if you stumbled across this. This is just for people who are interested. I'm not going to hard sell you on this. And if you don't know me, you're also welcome to listen. But you might be missing context that people who know me would have. So anyway, there's my preamble. If you're joining now, though, you might want to check out episodes 1, 2, and 52. Those will bring you up to date as of the beginning of this year. And from, the last 20 years or so, I'd stick with those. I'd advise against binging the whole series. It's not designed to be consumed that way. I didn't record it as a serial sort of episodic thing. You jump around if you feel like you need to listen to old episodes. I think that would be better. Anyway, so here we are, another late update due to the show. I decided not to record at the theater during production week because I was just too spent. So anyway, let's get into the updates. YTG, this is most of the updates here. Oblique went up. Oblique is the show I've been working on for the last, technically since December last year, but working on in rehearsals since the last week of May. And it went up. I will have video links soon. I'll probably choose one of the three live streams we did to link. The show was okay. The show was okay. Like, as always, something went up. But I felt it was more like one of our showcases than it was a main stage show. This is the first time in a few years that we didn't have a spring showcase of the show we were going to do during the summer. And even though those showcases are usually 99% different and maybe even take a different look at the material, it really helps focus things up for devising. And so basically we didn't have that this year, and I think that may have been part of the issue. I think one of the cast members called it a baby show, right? It still needed to do some growing. So it's interesting, when I was thinking about it, The Upside, which was the summer 2021 show, kind of suffered from the same problem. It also felt like really unfinished, and it also hadn't had a showcase because that year was disrupted by the pandemic. We'd done a completely, a Peony Lantern was the winter show, and then I was out of steam and I couldn't do a spring show on top of it. So The Upside was the last show that had that problem where we made the show, but then it felt like this was more a showcase. What else? We didn't have enough audience. The audience who came seemed to enjoy it, but we didn't have enough audience in total, online or in person. I am going to do the books tomorrow and see how not enough audience there was. But I predict I will have to do some extra fundraising to make up the shortfall, because that has been borrowed from family members, immediate family members. And I need to recoup that. And I'm thinking in going into the future of alternative ways of raising money to do shows, and also maybe only going ahead with a show when the budget is raised, which means, starting fundraising 6 months out. It's really hard because, we do these are collectively created things. They're based on a theme. We have no idea what the final show is going to look like. So it's hard to get people to, I had to think of a way to get people sort of invested in the process and invested in just the work in general. So yeah, I've got to come up with some ideas. I have some, I'll probably talk about them next time. Let's see, where was I? Oh, production week. So production week was rough. I didn't do any all-nighters, but I felt extremely unsupported through the process. Something last year that happened was that I felt there was some level of, I don't know. Anyway, I felt, I, let me just say, I felt there was a lack of, a lack of solidarity in the group, that there was, I don't know. I felt there were no technical people this year, which I think played into it. The group during tech week, so we made the schedule and the group booked a lot of time off for themselves, which included, in fact, all of Wednesday. So I was in that whole week. I didn't do any all-nighters. I was only there really late on one night. And I did get a lot of tech stuff done because there was nobody there. But I think the show ended up being under-rehearsed. And it was fine. These people are like super talented, so it actually mattered. It mattered less, although I felt personally under-rehearsed, and I'm not. This show, these people are so talented. I was the least talented person in the group. So I felt like my performance was below par. Anyway, we found some problems that didn't present themselves until we were actually performing the show that could have been solved if we'd run the show a few more times and really realized that, oh, this problem isn't like a performer problem. This problem is like a technical problem that we need to solve. One example was there's 2 points in the show that one of us is under a curtain and we have to sneak sort of off stage by pushing the curtain that we're under the curtain on the side of the stage. And we did that in rehearsal, but when we rehearsed, there were umbrellas there from another scene that were in the way that weren't there when we rehearsed because we weren't rehearsing those scenes back to back. And then, we had set pieces that were back there. There was just junk behind the curtain because the venue is really full of stuff. And it was, we had lots of trouble getting off stage. We just basically didn't do it enough times. So, as an example, a minor example, but there were a bunch of things like that where we only solved them. And also discoveries that we made when we were running the show that we could have made if we just run the show a few more times during rehearsal. But I've now had 2 summers in a row where I felt unsatisfied with the process, and I am, over the next week or two, I'm going to be doing a bunch of thinking to figure out what I'm doing wrong, because this is, I got this sort of strong ideological view of how I want to run the company. And now twice there have been groups where that view didn't work. So I'm not blaming. So basically, if that view can't adapt to every group of enthusiastic artists that I work with, then there's either something wrong with the ideology or there's something wrong with how I'm executing it. Because it's not the fault of the ensemble. It's not the fault necessarily of the individuals. It's the fault of, I haven't created the right environment that will work for everyone, or the right process without the right process that's not a set process. I don't know how to explain it. I haven't created the right variables or the right program, maybe, is the right way of thinking about it. I haven't created the right one that will work for every group that comes in. Because these are problems that didn't... they didn't happen on all the other shows. This summer and last summer, it's only been the summer shows since interns have come back post-pandemic. So the spring showcase last year, the Jekyll and Hyde showcase last year, the Winter Theater Lab this past December, they were stressful, but the process went okay. I got some feedback from the members this year, but I still need to process that. And I got some push from a couple people that I needed to take sort of a bigger leadership role. I needed to take a more active role in leading the group. How do I square that? How do I square that feedback with wanting to run a flat hierarchy You know, what if I can run this flat hierarchy? Like I said, what's the difference with these summer shows versus the spring and winter groups and 2022's Matsukaze Ensemble and the 2019 Antigone Ensemble? I mean, I thought maybe is it the size of the summer groups? Because they're bigger, right? But actually, the Antigone group was huge. If you count the little showcase we did, if you count like everybody who worked on Antigone, it was in, who spent time in rehearsals, it was probably like between 15 and 20 people all told. And in the final show, I think there were at least 13 of us, 12 or 13 of us, maybe more. So it's not the size. In fact, this group was quite small. There were six performers, including me, and two sort of support interns who were, well, one left, but, and one, well, one support intern who was actually here for the week of the show. And then a bunch of other people who worked with us earlier on during the rehearsal process, including our movement coach Monique, and including, some other interns, and Elena, who valiantly tried to create the original set. And, in the end, didn't actually get to build anything, which was probably a bit disappointing for her. I felt kind of bad about that. But sorry, tangent. So I don't think it's the size specifically. And okay, how about this? Is it the proportion of YTG veterans being different in the summer? So usually summer, it's more people coming from outside of Japan. So like there were no YTG vets last year. There was nobody who'd done a show with me before on the team last year. And this year it was only Merit, and she was absent for a lot of the early rehearsals. She was only coming in like one out of the 2 days a week because she had a full-time job. And then she was away for 2 weeks in Mongolia. So maybe it was the lack of having that veteran presence in the room. But, you know, some of the last few showcases, I was going to say, yeah, no, that's true. Some of the last few showcases and labs had lots of vets and or locals. So maybe that's a factor. But then I go back again, 2019, Antigone, there was nobody in that huge group who had worked, I don't think, who had worked with me before, other than maybe the lighting designer. No? Yeah, no. The lighting designer was Jun Wu. That was his first show with me. So yeah, there was nobody in that group, I think, who I'd worked with before. So that was, that's sort of, I don't know. So I got to figure this out. So this is the kind of thing I'm thinking about. I know I said I was going to, I have other thoughts, but this is still all too raw right now. And I want to process a bit more. Like I said, I got a fair amount of feedback from members of the summer ensemble, particularly two of them. And I found the I statements they gave me were hard to hear sometimes, because they talked about how they felt unsupported and sad and stressed. And, you know, I'm responsible for the environment. I felt really bad about that. I don't want anyone to like think about how they don't want to come into rehearsal. But those statements were really useful because they have me thinking about how I can solve that problem for the future. There were a lot of sort of prescriptive comments as well. Those were like less useful, and not because of a lack of like insight or honesty on their part, but it just comes down to, so when I used to work in IT, we had this thing called like the XY problem, where when you're doing support, you would have someone like ask you for something, right? They'd be like, okay, Andrew, I need a new keyboard. So they're telling you the solution to a problem without telling you what the problem is, because they actually don't know what the problem is. So you'd go, for instance, you'd go down to see what the issue was. You maybe take a new keyboard under your arm. And it turned out it wasn't like they didn't need a new keyboard. But what had happened is they'd accidentally mapped, they changed the mapping on their keyboard, so the keys were like for another language or something, or they kicked out a cable under the desk. So the point, that's the XY problem, right? They're asking you for X, but the actual problem is Y. And it's more useful to have people talk about the symptoms. That's why the I statements were more useful. And when I asked sort of like, okay, why did you feel this way? And when I got answers that were sort of like more self-analytic, not self-critical, but self-analytic, that gave me information about how I could do things. And I was able to ask a few questions, and I'll be able to think about that more going on, moving ahead. Anyway, I'll probably talk about this again more next time. If you want to hear more about the show in general, or you want to hear more about the show, I wrote that, but that's not what I mean. If you want to see the show, hit me up for a link to the final live stream, or you can donate to YTG at sponsor.ytg.jp, and I will shoot a link over to you. I hope I will edit that video at some point, but frankly, I don't know when I'm going to have the time, but when that's edited, that will also be made available. Okay, I'm just going to close off the YTG updates there. Oh, I guess the last part is that, so we did the strike last night, and then we went out for some of us, most of us went out for dinner. But today I actually had to finish the strike because we had a bunch of costumes and stuff that we've been running. We've been doing the costume inventory. I mentioned that a couple months ago, and it wasn't finished, but also I had to take everything back. So any bag that was ripped last night, I had people stuff the contents of those ripped bags into these boxes that I bought with the desiccant. And then my friend Harry and I drove in his car without air conditioning, which is one of the reasons I'm so exhausted today, is because I probably have like low grade heat stroke, because it was sunny. It was 36 degrees in Kawasaki today that's not what it felt like. Like, for instance, I'm looking at my weather meter here on my screen. It says it's currently 31 degrees, feels like 39. So it was probably felt like 45 earlier. And then inside the YTG storage container, which is made out of metal, had sun beating down on it all morning before we got there, it was probably about 10 degrees hotter than it was outside the storage container. So anyway, in two trips, we got everything back into storage, and I brought all the stuff that I'd left at the theater home, and I was able to do it by car rather than lugging it on the train. Although, yeah, that was a rough day. And so, yeah, I got through production week, got through the show weekend, another day of just working in the heat, and I am spent. So yeah, I will close up the YTG updates there. Nothing for Nerd Night this week, nothing for photography. Just mention of next projects. I've mentioned these before, but yesterday, audio project, I'll probably start talking about that. I went to cast ensemble member Clara's Rakugo performance the other weekend, and I met someone there who I think I can cast in that. And then I need to get back in touch with Varvara, the Ukrainian woman who wants to do a show next year called Rolled in Carpet. And I need to follow up with her to start the ball rolling on that. But I will probably put that off for at least a few weeks now. I have to catch up on like everything I haven't done for the last month because I was working on the show. Not the least of which is, of course, the budgeting thing I talked about to figure out how much money we're in the hole on this. And then I'm applying for two artistic director positions in Canada. So one of those is due Thursday. I've got to get that written. I've got to get my application for that one written tomorrow. The other one's due at the end of the month, but I want to get that in as soon as possible as well, because I've got a lot of other stuff to catch up on. So, Be the Audience, the sustainability project that I'm doing to raise money to like sort of help me make art. Go to awilner.com/B-the-audience if you are interested in that. But I'm actually thinking about not making that page accessible from direct linking on the website, partly because I'm applying for these artistic director positions and I don't want them to think that I'm going to leave if I raise enough money. It's actually the opposite, where I think if I get one of these positions, I will put the Be the Audience project on hiatus and cancel any ongoing subscriptions to that, because I will have like a full-time job at that point in the arts. But yeah, they'll undoubtedly Google me. So I think I need to probably take that down as well. I should probably go through my old Twitter feed and take out all the swearing probably. Anyway, also I was thinking about, in terms of moving that page, I was also thinking about just having the mailing list link there. And then people find out about the Be the Audience project through the mailing list. I think that's a more natural way to do it. And especially for me, then I can send people to join the mailing list rather than hit them up for support. So yeah. Yeah, thinking about that. Anyway, I better go. I gotta get this edited and sent out because I'm recording this on Monday, which is super late. And Hammy is gonna be home soon from his table tennis class. And I got to get dinner ready and stuff. So I am just going to, I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to you at the end of the week, I hope. Andrew out.